Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Wren. I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled Introduction to Discoveries. Now, we spent a few lessons now talking about classes. Now let's talk about discoveries, which is how we actually create instances of those classes. Unless we're talking about singletons, classes are pretty much useless if they don't have a discovery. So each class that you create, aside from singleton classes, again, as we talked about earlier, each class is going to need a discovery. This isn't necessarily a one-to-one. In other words, one discovery might discover multiple classes, and in some cases, you might even have multiple discoveries for a single class. For the most part, though, you're going to have a single discovery for each of your classes. The main thing we need to think about when we're defining discoveries is in this table. First, we have to think about where we can access the data that will tell us if we should create an instance, and the values for each of the properties of that instance. That's usually going to be a resource on the local agent where the discovery is running, such as the registry, but it doesn't have to be there. Sometimes we'll access external resources, such as a database, for example, to collect information about instances to create. The primary question that we'll ask when defining a discovery is where you can get the information that you need for that class. And that's going to define the source that we're going to use. And of course, we'll talk about some common sources in a moment. Next is the criteria that we're going to use with the data that we collect. We're not going to create an instance every single time, so we might need to apply a filter to our data source. For example, if we're looking in the registry, we may only create an instance if a particular key exists, or if some registry value matches some criteria. The criteria is typically pretty easy once you've defined your data source. Finally, we have the target, and that defines where we're going to run our discovery. We might need to run on every single Windows agent if we're looking for something basic like a SQL server or an IIS server. If we're looking for something specific to an application that we've already discovered, though, then we could be more selective. There's no reason to look for databases on an agent where we haven't already discovered SQL Server, for example. We also wouldn't bother looking for websites on a server that doesn't have IIS. We'll cover targeting in a little more detail in a couple of slides, and it really should make a lot more sense to you then. Now, as we'll find out later, when we talk about custom modules, you can use pretty much anything as a discovery source. But the reality is that the vast majority of your discoveries are going to use one of a few sources. And these are the ones that we're going to talk about in a lot more detail. We'll give a brief intro of them here in this conceptual lesson, and then we'll actually break out into a lesson for each one where we'll talk about each one in more detail, and then we'll go back to our sample application and create that type of discovery. Now, the registry is our favorite discovery source because most applications write install and configuration information to the registry, and this is a very quick and lightweight process. We typically start with a registry discovery to determine if an agent has a certain application installed, and then we'll follow up with other discovery sources to find application components. We'll talk about that concept a bit more later on. A WMI is something that most people have probably heard of, but it isn't used all that often. A WMI query can actually be very useful to get information about the operating system, services, files on disk, variety of other options that you might think you need a script to get. A WMI discovery can be easier and lighter weight, and WMI is going to be available on any Windows agent. We'll get more into WMI in a later lesson if you aren't familiar with it, and we'll give examples of how those queries are built and what kind of information you can access with it. Now, we're going to need to write a discovery script whenever we can't get data using one of the other sources, or if we need some more complex logic. Maybe you can get the information from the registry, but you need to do some conversion of the data before storing it in a property, for example. Or maybe you need to access the API of the application to get some information you need to get information, say, on a database. In these cases, you're going to need to write a script. Now, discovery scripts can get pretty complex, so we're going to handle those in their own lesson later on. The last common source is WSMan, and this is what you use for discoveries on Unix and Linux. WSMan is kind of like WMI for the Unix platform. We can get resources of the operating system, configuration files, and we can even execute shell commands, so it's really the Unix version of doing a script. And we'll cover WSMan discoveries in a later lesson that we'll devote completely to Unix and Linux. So while we'll walk through subsequent lessons for registry, WMI, and script, we're going to hold off on WSMan till later on when we get around to handling Unix. There are no hard and fast rules to defining a strategy for discoveries, but we can give some basic guidelines that you're typically going to want to follow. You're usually going to want to start with a registry discovery across a broad target such as Windows Computer. Again, we'll talk about Unix agents later on. You're basically starting out by scanning your environment to find out where the application that you're managing is installed. And then you don't want to do that with a script or WMI discovery because those carry overhead that you don't want to put on agents where it's not needed. Most applications are going to have information in the registry to at least find out if it's installed. I'd even consider creating a special registry key just for the management pack to drive basic discovery if I needed it. Your registry discovery is usually going to discover classes based on Windows Computer role or local application. Once that's in place, once you have an instance on that agent, you can then target other discoveries such as scripts and WMI. Those take more overhead, but we don't mind accepting that overhead on servers where we actually have our application installed. Now, a seed class is a basic strategy where we create a special class just to drive discovery. We don't monitor that class, we don't create any views for it, we really don't want to see it. It just says that the application is installed on this agent, so we know where to run our other discoveries. This is a good strategy when you need more complex logic for your discoveries. You start by creating the seed class using a registry discovery, and then that acts as the target where you can really do any more complex discoveries that you might need. We're actually going to use a seed class in the discoveries for our sample application, so we'll talk more about it then. But if all this concept isn't entirely clear, I think we can clear it up pretty well with an illustrated example. Now, this slide is one that I've shown a number of times and typically helps take away a lot of the mystery of how discoveries and targeting works. If this whole discussion about targeting and the different types of discoveries doesn't make much sense to you, then I think we can clear it up here. So I have three different agents here, two running Windows Server and one running Linux. Only one of the Windows servers has the application that I'm monitoring, and that's the one on top. I have a management pack that has two discoveries. The first is a registry discovery that's using Windows Computer for its target, and it's discovering a class called Central Server. This is actually, as you can tell, some of the classes from our sample application. The second discovery is a script discovery that discovers store queue. Now, we only expect to find a store queue on a central server, so we don't have to go searching across all Windows computers for it. We don't want to. We don't want to run that script where it's not needed. It won't hurt anything because they won't have any instances. It's not like we're going to discover queues where they don't exist, but then we would end up running scripts on computers where they aren't needed. We don't mind taking that overhead on the central server where we actually are going to discover queues and discover updates to those queues, but we don't want it anywhere else. And that's the reason that it's using Central Server as its target. Now let's walk through the process of how the management pack gets installed and runs, and then this concept should really start to become clear. So we start by installing the management pack on the management server. Okay? Now once the management pack gets installed, it's delivered out to any agent that has at least one instance of at least one target class. In other words, we have in the management pack discoveries, rules, monitors, tasks. We have all these different workflows, every single one of which has a target. And so if you took that entire list of all those workflows and the different targets that they use, if an agent has at least one instance of one of those classes, then the entire management pack will get delivered out to the agent. So in our case, we have Windows Computer and Central Server as our targets. If we had monitoring in this MP, we'd also have to consider any of those targets as well. We haven't discovered any instances of Central Server yet, so nothing gets delivered because of that, but we do have two instances of Windows Computer, so the MP gets delivered to both of those agents. We don't have any Linux targets in this management pack, so the MP does not get delivered there. Now once the agents receive the management pack, they load it into their cache. Nothing gets run yet. The workflows in the MP just get installed. Next, our registry discoveries are going to run against those instances of Windows Computer. And in the case of the top agent there, it discovers an instance of Central Server. In other words, the registry on that computer had the information that fit the criteria that the discovery was looking for. So we created an instance. Now that discovery is going to keep running at the defined interval on both those agents, and it's going to keep discovering nothing on the second agent. That might sound like wasted overhead, but registry discoveries are so small, it's really completely negligible compared to the other workflows that are running on the agent. Now, of course, we need to keep running that discovery because something could be installed. The next time that this registry discovery runs on that second agent there, maybe the application was installed, in which case we'll discover it. Or on the top agent, maybe the application is uninstalled, in which case the next time the discovery runs, it will basically remove the instance. Now, because we discovered an instance's central server, our script discovery is then going to load and run. And sure enough, the discovery finds some instances of store queue. So that's a fairly simple example that I walked through, but this really does describe discovery for a variety of different management packs. We typically start with a registry discovery against a broad class like Windows Computer, and then where we need to discover other components, we can target the class that we just discovered with scripts and WMI and some more complexity. So hopefully this gives a better understanding, and these are the basic strategies that we're going to use when we create the discoveries for our sample application. The next thing to think about is how we undiscover something if we uninstall it, or how we update its properties if they change. If in my last example I installed the application on the second server, then we would expect an instance of Central Server to get discovered the next time the discovery ran. Or if I created another store queue, then that should get discovered the next time that the script ran. But if I removed an existing queue, then we would expect that one to go away. Or if I updated its information, then we would expect that property to get updated. Now, as an MP author, you really don't have to worry about this too much. All you need to do is discover the instances that you see right now and let the management servers figure everything out. But let's at least take a look at how they do that, because these concepts actually will matter as you start to go to more complex discoveries, mainly in scripts. First off, understand that every object is identified by its key property and the key property of its parents. So if we think back to our database example, the key property is the database name. Databases are discovered by a script that runs against each database engine. So I can identify that database both by its name, the name of the database engine, and the name on the computer that that engine resides. Those are the key properties of the database and the key properties of each of its parents. And when the management server works with discovery data, those are the properties that it uses in order to uniquely identify that particular object. Now that discovery would compile up a list of all the databases and send them over to the management server, where it goes through each one and determines one of two things. First off, if this is a new instance, then we'll create it. In other words, we don't have a database for this database engine with the same database name. In that case, we're going to create a new instance of the database class. Or, if the instance already exists, then we're going to update its properties. In other words, we see an object in the Operations Manager database that matches all of the key properties of the one we just discovered. We'll assume that those two are the same object, and in that case, we'll see if any of the other properties, the non-key properties, have changed. And if so, we'll go ahead and update them with the new value that we just discovered. Now, once the management server has walked through that set of discovery data, it's going to check if any other objects that we discovered previously by that same discovery. If it finds any objects that were previously discovered but that aren't included in this set of discovery data, then we'll go ahead and remove it. Now, that concept of undiscovery is not going to be too big of a deal for most discoveries because it's just going to happen really without you worrying too much about it. For scripts, though, this is going to be a very important concept and one that we'll talk about in more detail when we get into script discoveries. So this lesson should at least give you an overview of how discoveries work, what discoveries are, how we go about defining them. What we'll do through the next set of lessons is go through each of the different kinds of discovery, talk about them in more detail, and actually go into Visual Studio and create discoveries for our sample application.